It's interesting that up in Gaspé in New Carlisle, several funerals have this song as their as one of the hymns. And I was just thinking of that last verse. Anywhere with Jesus, I can go to sleep when the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall waken never more to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Wonderful Savior. Would like for us tonight to turn first of all to the book of Psalms, Psalm 19. If we might turn there, please. The book is Psalm 19. It's interesting that David was a man who was born and who's lived about 1,000 years before Christ was born. And the vast majority of the Holy Scriptures were written between the time that that David lived and the end of the Old Testament, and of course the New Testament, all since the time of David. And yet it's interesting that with the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and then we know Joshua and Judges and Ruth and Job, these books were perhaps available to him. And it would seem to me that these are basically the books that he would have and that he would be enjoying. Now, a lot of us would find it hard to enjoy the Pentateuch and books such as this when we compare them to the Gospel of John, let's say, or even the Psalms of David themselves. But we find what David, as he looked into these words, you know, the Bible is unique. It was unique in the days of David, and it is unique today. And a wonderful book, the Word of God. And how wonderful to deal with a book that is truth and that reveals God, that reveals, in the case of David, a coming Messiah, and has all of the rich promises to Israel and even the many rich promises to the nations, to the world. And so with this rather limited background of Scripture that David had, in one degree, we read these words. Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." What a rejoicing psalm, rejoicing in the Word of God, that unique, wonderful book that he had, that which worked in his own soul, converting it, changing it, restoring it, making him, giving him wisdom, as he writes in one place, wisdom, more wisdom than his teachers, rejoicing his heart. How glorious the Word of God is. You know, when I think of this new year, 2016, I would think that there would be no better thing that we might do this evening than encourage you and exhort you to read the Word of God. Read it in your own home and come and hear the Word of God as it is read and it is carried out in preaching here at the chapel. I believe the Word of God is marvelous, powerful. It is a powerful thing. It is what we have been given, and we desperately need all the help we can get in the Word of God. Whether we're reading it privately at home, or we come to a meeting such as this, or this morning, or through the week, my friends, I would encourage you to know all you can about the Word of God. Do not allow the Holy Scriptures to be something that you might go a week without, for you will not, in one sense, go without it. You will slide without the Word of God. It is so vital to us. And to have it is to know change and growth in your life. We say, well, you know, Bob, I read the Bible, I don't get much out of it. My friends, if you read the Bible prayerfully, you will get something out of it, your soul will. It is for sure. The Lord Jesus prayed to the Father, and he said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. That is how we are changed, is by the Word of God. That is how we are changed. And how marvelous it is. I would like for us to look at a few passages of Scripture in the New Testament that speak of the Word of God. That idea, too, in the background, that this is so important to us. And I would dearly implore you to read the Word of God. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Edification and exhortation and comfort. To edify is to build up. You know, if we are faithful to the Word of God, and as we study it together, or it is preached to us in ministry, it is a changing thing. It builds us up. It builds up the assembly. It builds up the individual. It is something that is altogether powerful. When we see the word prophesy here, we know that it, in those early church days, it came directly from God to the preacher, and out it goes. We know today that we have the Word of God, the revelation of God in the Word of God. We study it, we speak it forth. And what does it do, the Word of God? The Bible says it edifies and builds up those that hear it. I think it is very important that we have this done. We need this. We need this. And in verse 3 also, exhortation. The idea of exhortation is coming alongside someone and urging them ahead, or bringing them ahead. And we find exhortation in such words as this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I beseech you, sisters. I beseech you. Let those who do this do that. We see the Bible full of exhortation. From the teachings of our Lord Jesus, the prophets, right from the book of Genesis on through, the exhortation of the Word of God to stir up the believers. You know, the believers may not be easily stirred up, but one thing I would say concerning the Scriptures, if we want them stirred up, we must teach the Scriptures. I would say teach the Scriptures and pray. Because if I want anybody stirred up, I have had occasion to stir up people, and they get mighty stirred up, and it's not a pretty picture. But I want them stirred up. I want them stirred up in the right thing. And to get them stirred up in the Word of God. And with the Word of God. This is what we need. This is what I need. This is what you need. Exhortation. Exhortation. And then we read here not only edification and exhortation, but also the comfort of the Word of God. What can be more comforting than words such as this? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He that hath begun a good work in you, he will complete that work. There are so many promises, and the Scripture says this, they are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. There are those of us that have heard the Word of God, and its comfort is such that we can go to sleep at night. We do not have to worry about if we were to pass away at night, never more to roam in this old world. Anywhere with Jesus is home, sweet home. The assurance of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. He hath perfected us forever, we read in the Scriptures. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, know for certain and sure that you have eternal life. And many others concerning the Christian life itself. I think of a word such as this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read such words as this, and I would ask you, where else could you find such comfort in all of science, in all of the minds of men? This I say unto you by the word of the Lord, by the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I think of the word of God too, which I already mentioned, the prayers of our Lord Jesus. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, it's wonderful philosophically in one's own mind to know that we deal with the truth, that the word of God is absolutely true, but also that it is sanctifying truth, which means that it sets us apart for God or it changes our lives. The word of God changes our lives. No wonder we would exhort the saints. No wonder we would edify them with the teaching of the Word of God. Why? Because it's something that's practical and useful to them every day, and that it changes their lives. And it is a true change. You know, when I was a bit younger, I worked over at Sleepy Hollow for a little while as a guard. I was hoping I'd be able to come up with that word. But anyway, when I worked there, there was a man in the jail there, a fairly rough young man. He had been in many foster homes. And in some of those foster homes, he had been sorely abused. But in some of them also, he had met Christian believers. And he had made a profession of faith in his life, and yet he was a man that had backslidden. And he was telling me once, and I haven't seen him since, but he told me once, he said, if I don't make it with the Lord this time, he said, I believe that I will die. I believe the Lord will take me. Maybe the Lord did, I don't know. But anyway, one day there was a lady, a religious lady, came around, and she was inviting him out to the AA program. And she was encouraging him to go. And he said to her, he said, ma'am, he said, I find it strange that you, a religious woman, would be promoting that. He said, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And she said, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he said, well, do you believe that Jesus Christ changes lives? She said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ changes lives. Then he said, why aren't you preaching Jesus Christ instead of the 12-step program? Now, I thought there was a man who I didn't really believe had a great deal of education. But he had something. And that was an assurance that if he was going to get any help, he was going to get that help through Jesus Christ and through the Word of God. I believe that too. I believe that with every fiber that is in me. The Holy Scriptures change lives, and Jesus Christ changes lives. In 2016, I believe we need to have that very clear in our minds and in our hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ edifies us and builds us up and comforts us. Human flesh is not a pretty picture. And sanctification is not known to be immediate. But I will tell you, I believe that Jesus Christ is the answer. And the Word of God is the answer. When we look at this passage, let's look on a little bit to the book of 2 Timothy, please. We look at verse 16, which I know is very familiar to you all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My friends, the Word of God, it is a wonderful word indeed. The Word of God. And the Word of God is for instruction, teaching, doctrine, teaching the truth. One of the paraphrasers says, by the way, a paraphrase, there are several that are common today. Today's English version of the Bible is one of them. Another is the New Living Translation. And a third one, which is not quite a paraphrase, it is actually claims, and I believe it is true. It is more of a commentary of types called the Amplified Bible. But these here add much more to the Scripture. They really explain it. The thing you have to watch out for is to realize they are not translations, but they are paraphrases. But I find them very helpful when I agree with them or when they seem to agree with our Bibles. And the New Living Translation, for example, says this: it is to teach us what is true. It is to teach us what is true. That is what the Word of God teaches us, what is true. If it's in the book, it's true. How vital that is. And then for reproof, one of the paraphrases again says, reproof and conviction of sin. I believe that is probably accurate. It is it is more by a word or two than what the translations say, but that is what these are. These are explanatory things. Rebuking error. Make us realize what is wrong in our lives. This is what the Word of God does. We need to hear the teaching of the Word of God, for it tells us what is wrong. And we sure need a doctor, and we need a spiritual doctor, and we have it in the Word of God. What is the idea? That the man of God may be mature or perfect. Then we have the third word there. Correction. The error and discipline that are in obedience, correcting faults, changing. That's what that is. Correcting our faults, correcting our errors, the things that are in our minds that are faults, and the things that are in our flesh. When we need the Spirit of God, correcting faults. This is what we have in the Word of God. It is given and God breathed and is profitable. It is profitable for reproof and doctrine, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, may be mature, may be complete, may be the best that the Lord can make of him in this old world. Seeing that he has the flesh, seeing that he has the devil working against him, seeing that he has the temptations of the world. What offsets these things is the Word of God itself. When I see, sometimes some say, you know something? The word of preaching of the Word of God is not enough. Well, it's only enough to make you mature. It's not only right to teach you where you're off base and put you on base. It's only good if you want to have habits broken and to have your life changed slowly and steadily as you are in the Word of God. Now, if that's not what you want, seek something else. Seek something else if God's Word isn't enough. seek God something else if God is not perfect, if His Word is not perfect, if He is not able to do the things that He says that He can do. How vital it is, and instruction in righteousness, training in holy living and conformity to God's will, giving instruction for righteous living. All Scripture corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. And I might add to that, that it is that which changes us to the right. Sometimes we hear it so often, read and pray, we read and pray, read and pray, read and pray. We say, well, that hasn't worked in my life for the last 40 years. Well, I'll tell you something. Chances are you're not the same man if you've been saved 40 years that you were 40 years ago, especially if you're reading and praying each day. And if when the Word of God is opened, even in a place such as this, that you're there to hear it, and you're taking it in, the exhortation of the Word of God, that, I believe, is definitely what we need in 2016. You say, well, are you perfect, Bob? No, sir. I'm just telling you what I believe this teaches. And I can tell you this, that I am not the same person I was when I was 18 years old and without Christ. My friends, I believe that in 2016, once again, there's always, doesn't matter what year it is, does it? To be called to a loyalty to the Word of Christ, a trust in the Word of God, and a trust in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We read in chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. The Word of God. The Word of God tightens up our morality. The Word of God loosens up our purse strings. What the Word of God can't do, I don't know. I have seen men who had a tough, thick head changed by the power of the Word of God. Preach it. Be instant. Now the Scripture says here, or some of these translations and so on, and I think they're a little helpful. With urgency. Preach with urgency the Word of God. I have a little statement here I thought was interesting. I believe it's from the Amplified Bible. But I'll just mention it. By the way, that other word where it says, be instant, correcting and warning and urging and encouraging. And we read, whether it's welcome or unwelcome, we teach the Word. Some will say, oh, well, narrow-minded, old school. Whether it's welcome or unwelcome, I pray that I will die preaching the Word of God and believing that in it is the only help for believers. whether people want to hear that, whether they don't, I would say to you, the Scriptures have the answer. Jesus Christ has the answer. What you do with Him and what you do with your Bible, I cannot bring it forth other than to say this, that I will preach this truth to you, whether it's welcome or unwelcome, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. If it's inconvenient to you that it should be the Word of God we preach, we spend 40 minutes in a meeting preaching the Word of God. You say, that's not convenient for me. I'd say to you, it is absolutely not only convenient, it is imperative to you to hear the Word of God. Whether the times are favorable or unfavorable. I was reading in, I have a little devotional book at home. I was reading in it that in 1971, one person out of every 25 in Canada said that they did not believe in God or want anything to do with God in any form. This is a very broad thing. Today, one in four do not want to have anything to do with God. They call this a post-Christian era. But I would say this, whether it's favorable or unfavorable to the world or to anyone else, preach the Word of God. Reprove. Reprove. And rebuke. And exhort. Reprove. Rebuke. And exhort. The idea of preaching with conviction. Conviction ourselves. And putting that conviction across. Yes. Encouragement. Urgency. You know, I was looking at a Bible that was published in 1534. The way it translated some of these things are a little bit interesting. Speaking of this passage, it uses the word improve. That as the Word of God is preached, reprove. It says improve. Improve. That's what the Word of God does. To teach the Word of God. Let's turn to another little passage. Titus was speaking to the young folks in particular. And in chapter 2 of Titus at verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. When we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we saw a little more balance. You see the word comfort. Yes, yes, the believers need comfort. Yes, we see the word even edification. They need to be built up. And exhortation, they need to be stirred up. But then when Paul was speaking of the work of God and the little island of Crete, he said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. How vital. How vital. When there are young men, his two young men, Timothy and Titus. Hard day on preachers. It's a hard day on elders. It's a hard day on dads, and it's a hard day on moms. Where do we turn? Where do we turn to the Word of God? It's what people need. It's what I need and what you need. I don't like to miss Bible study. Been saved for many, many years, and from the first, and I'm not bragging about this, but it's true that I have found it necessary to go to Bible study and prayer meeting. I have found it necessary to go to the meetings of the day, whether I was preaching or whether I was not preaching. My life is not all that ahead of anybody else. I remember a man saying to me on one occasion, he said, "You know what? I already know everything that's going to be said. I do just as well staying at home." That same man lived to tell me at one day, he said, "Bob, I have not opened the scriptures in a year." You know something? Don't you tell God what you can do and get away with. You let God tell you what you need and what you can get away with. You don't tell God, "Well, that young pup is speaking again. I'm going to stay home." No, you need the Word of God, and I need the Word of God. If we don't get it, it's sick will be. You may say, "What about family?" You know something? In our meeting, I never did all the preaching. So on Tuesday nights, when we had kids to get to bed or to school, one of us went to Bible study. We could change that around, but that's the way it worked. There's something where we need that in our home. We need a husband and wife need to read together and pray together. And as individuals, we need the Word of God. They say, "I don't read." You need the Word of God. I have a boy that could neither read nor write, which was hard on my heart. I have a lot of compassion for people that can't read or write, for I love to do both. And he wanted to be in the army, and he wants to move up in the army, and he wants to do this and to do that. And he cannot do it without reading. So he reads as much as he can, and he fails the test, and he retakes it over again, and he takes it over again. And finally, he gets by. What is our attitude to getting something out of the Word of God? Don't let failure ever slow you down if you really want it. Don't let failure slow you down. Your own inabilities. There is no one, no matter what kind of education he has in the world, that doesn't have one word in his tongue, and it's more, more, more. He never has enough. You may say, oh, I have lots of that. Friends, the Word of God is important. It's terribly important. Well, our time is gone. But might I encourage you this year? May I encourage the elders that are in this place, to whom, being on the front line, the Satan would love to have your head chopped off. And those of you who are preaching the Word of God, trying to grab moments between work times, how much Satan would love to get you out of there, love to get you discouraged, love to get you failing. You Sunday school teachers, and those of you, the Christians that look after things too, that do work for the Lord, that carry out your gifts, perhaps nobody even knowing from week to week. Those of you that in the past can look back to a time when you shared tracts, when you shared the Word of God, and you look at yourself today and you say, you know what? I truly am not the man I used to be. Where do we go? It's not that I just want to wrap fingers and whip. The Word of God is the agent for change that the Holy Spirit of God uses. Its main theme is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. My friends, I'll tell you, that is where we must go. You have failure, that's where you must go. And may God lay that on our heart in this coming year. You know already I have some places I'm speaking here and there. If you would pray for me, that I would have an urgency in the Word of God, that I would tell people the truth. Not to try and show. I remember a preacher. This woman came up to him after the meeting. She said, you know, she said, that was good. And he said, you know, right in the middle of the meeting there, Satan told me it was pretty good. And I almost believed him. We need prayer, and we need the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to speak to our hearts tonight concerning the Scriptures. Lord, may we be known as the people of the book, not because we proclaim to be the people of the book, not that we put it in the newspapers, but because the world would see they are people that are chained to that old book. What a backhanded, but yet marvelous, marvelous thing for them to say, to have to admit. Lord, I pray for our young men and our young women, that they would be in the Word of God. Keep the preachers, the teachers, the workers that serve with the Lord Jesus Christ in fellowship and hand in hand with Him. to stay fast in the Word of God. We may be men of the Word of God at work, at play, in our homes. Lord, I just pray for this little meeting. I pray for our own meeting. I pray for the Christians that are in this on this island. Oh, Father, give us a burden for the Word of God, that it may be just the very source of all things to us for this year. And as long as you would leave us here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.